Good morning. Ping An, that's Chinese. And welcome to you, intrepid journey people. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. All around us, thousands of people are cycling, many to raise money for causes that they feel passionate about. We wish them all well. Tea and coffee will be served between our morning services, and there will be a reflective worship service here this evening at 6:30. And I haven't received any new pastoral news, so nothing to say. Thank you.
We join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. O Lord, you are eternal. Your word will last as long as the heavens. You remain faithful in every generation, and the earth you created will be firm. All things are your servants. We join together to sing, Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
We join to pray. God, you are our God, and nothing can separate us from your love. Not things in our past, not things that will happen. There is nowhere that we can go to flee from you. There is nobody who can come between us. Your love is with us in life and into all eternity. God, you are our God, but not in the sense that you are our pet or our possession, but in the sense that we have responded as your people. For you are everyone's God. Forgive us for those times that we shrink you, that we think of you as our lucky charm. The one that we will manipulate. Have mercy on us. For you are God who is beyond mysterious, magnificent. And we are your loved, tiny, cherished, small, precious people. Cleanse us, refresh us, and renew us for your service. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, you know how things jump into your head? Well, I was saying the Lord's Prayer and I suddenly remembered Ray Erskine. We had a conversation about saying the Lord's Prayer, and just to tell you that Ray is recovering, staying with her brother and her sister-in-law, and she's making progress. That's Ray Erskine. Yep, there we are, a bit of new.
Good morning.
Right.
Today we are going to be talking about our favourite things. Don't worry, I'm not going to start singing. For Christmas, my best friend gave me this bag, and it was a plain bag, and she wrote on it in fabric pen. And on one side it's got, these are a few of my favourite things. And then on the other side she's written down some of my favourite things. So she knows I like dancing, so she's put Zumba and salsa. She knows that I like chocolate. Half the church knows I like chocolate. Half of Kingston knows I like it. She knows that I like butterflies. My favourite flower is a sunflower. There's quite a bit on there to do with wine, but we won't go there. Because it's a children's talk. But I've got some more of my favourite things in here. So, Dahi, come and help me with my favourite things. You take things... It's a mug. Now, it's not the mug that's my favourite thing. What does it say? Turn around so they can see. Hold it up high. It says, I love Strictly. I heart Strictly. Yeah, that was my Christmas present from Steve and Tony Wenman. So they know that I'm obsessed with Strictly Come Dancing. So that's one of my favourite things. What else? DVDs. My favourite TV show ever is Frasier. It makes me laugh, and I have all 11 seasons on DVD. Hours and hours of fun. So that's another one of my favourite things that I treasure. What else? Oh, had to have this because we're in church. What is it? It's my Bible. And honestly, this is truly one of my treasures. It's very important to me what's in here, okay? Very important. So I'm going to put that there. What else? It's my teddy bear. No one's waving. That is Teddy Boo. I'll tell you why he's called Teddy Boo when we go outside, okay? Because it's too embarrassing to tell the grown-ups. Okay. He looks a bit worse for wear because he's a bit old. Can't say how old because that would give the game away. Okay, but I've had him a long time, so that's one of my favourite everything. If I lost him, I would cry. I really would. I love music, very important to me, and I like all types of music, classical, jazz, rock, but my favourite. Can you read what that says? ABBA. Go on, say ABBA. ABBA. My favourite. Leslie loves them as well. It's the one thing we've got in common. So that's very important to me. Anything else? One last thing. My photographs. All my memories. And that's a picture of me with my two friends, and it reminds me of a day we went out recently for the day, and it's something that I treasure. So there's a few of my treasures, and in a minute you're going to be thinking what yours are. But you know, Jesus talked about treasures in the Bible. Do you know what treasures Jesus had? People. What else? He treasured people. What else did he treasure? Love. What else? Animals.
Everything.
And he said the biggest, most important treasure of all is the kingdom of heaven. Remember that phrase, okay? Kingdom of heaven. And he said it's so precious that people would search for it and give everything they have in order to get it. And we're going to learn in a minute what the kingdom of heaven is and how precious it really is. Okay? First, we're going to sing about Jesus' love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. So please stand and sing.
beautiful. Let's join to pray. Loving God, as we reflect on your scriptures in separate groups, we ask that you would help us to hear you, and we ask that you would bless all those reading and teaching this day. Open our ears, Lord Jesus. Amen. See you later. An understanding mind is what Solomon asks of God. Not an entirely admirable human being, King Solomon, but one that was... But the good news about that is that the good news is that you can be not an entirely admirable human being and still God can be at work in you. Bethany Brealey will read this passage to us.
Solomon's dream. That night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What would you like me to give you?" Solomon answered, "You always showed great love for my father David, your servant, and he was good, loyal, and honest in his relations with you. And you have continued to show him your great and constant love by giving him a son who today rules in his place. Oh, Lord God, you have let me succeed my father as king, even though I am very young and don't know how to rule. Here I am among the people you have chosen to be your own, a people who are so many but they cannot be counted. So give me the wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so he said to him, "Because you have asked for the wisdom to rule justly, instead of long life for yourself or riches or the death of your enemies, I will do what you have asked. I will give you more wisdom and understanding than anyone has ever had before or will ever have again." This be the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Take advantage of the beautiful Sue Shaw, because she won't be with us for that much longer, but we'll talk more about that in a month's time. Is it only a month?
5 weeks. Yeah.
5 weeks. She could tell you the number of days. So we have... Right, the first thing to say is these are stories of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and the phrase is about which translation... The phrase is interchangeable. So if when you hear kingdom of heaven, you could be hearing kingdom of God. It goes both ways. So here we have a cluster of short parables in Matthew about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Two pairs of parables and a fifth one which uses the image from fishing. And Sue Shaw will read this passage to us.
Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it grows up, it is the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds come and make their nests in its branches." Jesus told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with 40 litres of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. The kingdom of heaven is like this. a man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Some fishermen throw their net out in the lake and catch all kinds of fish. When the net is full, they pull it to shore and sit down to divide the fish. The good ones go into their buckets. The worthless ones are thrown away. It will be like this at the end of the age. The angels will go out and gather up the evil people from among the good and will throw them into the fiery furnace where they will cry and grind their teeth. Do you understand these things? Jesus asked them. Yes, they answered. So he replied, this means then that every teacher of the law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who takes new and old things out of his store.
So let us pray. May the words that are said be your words, Lord Jesus. May the words that are heard be your words. May the lives that are lived be your lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that needs to be said is that King Solomon is not Jesus. He's not sinless. He is, though, wise. When he becomes king, he knows that he needs wisdom more than stuff. And oops, God gives him the stuff as well, which, brothers and sisters, is not the moral of the story, whatever other preachers might say. Solomon is one who does dodgy stuff in his life, but he also is the one that God allows to build the temple, which King David was not allowed to do. And the notion of king and kingdom is more conventional when we think of Solomon than it is when we think about Jesus. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, more than he spoke about anything else. More than anything else. But we tend to skip past it. What does it mean? Well, simply put, it means the reign of God. Which means that for us, we are citizens of two kingdoms. And one of those kingdoms is more important than the other one. And one day, all the stuff of the earth, even the earth itself, will be gone. But the other kingdom will last into eternity. So the first question for every one of us is, do the decisions that we make day by day with the whole of our lives reflect the truth that we have a loyalty that is beyond our loyalty as citizens of the earth. In the nation that we are placed, do we remember in the choices and the decisions that we make that beyond being British, beyond being Korean, or whatever country it is you come from, we are citizens of another country? Or that we are citizens of a country that is beyond the kingdom of me. So Jesus uses the phrase translated as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, a lot. He begins his ministry by declaring that the kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is upon you, is here. But what is it and what does it mean? And if it is true that the kingdom of God is here, why is it so tough trying to live every day? And why, when we try and push good stuff forward, is there a pushback of negativity if God is king on the earth now? Why is there so much bad stuff happening? In what sense? If what sense is he king? Well, the metaphor I heard, which I think is a useful one, well, to me it is, you know, so I'll share it with you. That's all I can do. It's a metaphor from the Second World War, which is to think of D-Day, which is the time when they moved to invade into Europe, mainland Europe, and it was the turning point of the Second World War. It was not the time when the victory happened, but it was the time when everything changed. The ball started to roll in a particular way. It was the invasion of mainland Europe. The big push was on. Things were moving in a positive direction. I know in a bloody and horrible way, but moving in a positive direction. But still, people were dying in concentration camps. Soldiers were dying. Civilians were dying. As the war was being won. We live in the in-between times. The big battle has been fought and has been won. But we live in the times while that is being played out. On this day, today, that is being played out. And the kingdom of God is being built, not on our initiative, but on God's. It is our job to spot where God is at work, and then to put our energy, our commitment, our time into that cause. And to do whatever it is we are called to do. So what does it look like and what does it mean, this kingdom? Let me read you the work, a paragraph from John Drane. Perhaps the bewildering variety of ways in which the new society is described was designed to teach us one very important lesson about it. That what God can do among men and women through Jesus Christ is something far greater than any one of us can fully understand. When God works, he does it in a big way. He also does it in a simple way, so that everyone can understand enough about it to be able to respond to the challenge. That is why Jesus gave so much of his teaching in parables or simple pictures. So we know that we have a whole range of stories that we call parables. and they are designed to teach us an aspect of the kingdom. They're usually designed to teach us one aspect of the kingdom. And if there's a donkey in the story, then it means there's a donkey in the story. It's not a metaphor for something else. Usually, it's a donkey. So we have in Matthew a collection of stories. And what do they say? What do they mean? Well, I think they mean that small stuff can be amazingly transformational. There's more than things, stuff, that can make you really happy. Everyone might look the same, but not. And that there will be judgment at the end. But hey, the way these stories work is that you might read the stories or hear the stories and think, no. It means this, 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 and this. And that, sisters and brothers, is great, because that is why Jesus taught in parables, so that we would think about it, we would chew it over, and we would come up with our understanding of his truth and insight. It's not a problem that we have different notions. But overall then, if we take it all the stuff that Jesus said and did, what does the kingdom of God mean? What does it mean? What are the markers of it? What's Jesus pointing us towards? On this day, I would say, the kingdom of God is love, care for the weakest in society. It's about justice. It's about powerlessness in this world. It's about sitting lightly to possessions. It's about coming from a place of service. It's about a community where there's always room for more folk. It's eternal. It's beyond social conventions. It's focused beyond ourselves. It is God who is around, however it feels. It's about something that's apparently frail and small, but is subversive, mysterious, public, uncontainable, transformational, invisible, and on and on. But there is not a list of 20 things. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And if you get that list in your head and you believe it, then you're sorted. That is not how it is. And not, you have to go to church and believe this list of 20 things, and you're in. It's not about a bit of us that is the religious bit of us that matters, and all the rest of us doesn't matter. That's not how it is. The teaching of the kingdom is, it says, that all of us, all of our behavior, all of our ways, all of our priorities, individually and together, is what matters to God. And the church, I would say, only has meaning in as much as it empowers us to get cracking on with all that stuff. It's only useful if it is a channel that moves us, not a thing that sucks energy and time out of all the rest of our lives. So if it moves us to share, to love, to think of others, then God bless the church. But if the church is a gathering once a week where my prejudices are massaged, I meet with people who are like me, and we catch up on the gossip about others, and I am always at ease when I worship, then, sisters and brothers, I think we need to change churches quickly. Scriptures makes it clear that the life of the church is always going to be a challenge, and it is not the complete life of the kingdom. For example, in the kingdom, there will always be a welcome for everyone. In our church, we fail with that all the time. Why do we fail with that? because we are sinful. It's the pivotal thing that we are on the earth in our sinfulness. So how are we to know the way to go? If we are sinful, how are we to know the way to go? Well, the answer is, we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. And how do we do that? We gather with others. We read the Bible. We read books that help us. We watch our screens. And we spend time talking with other people about the big stuff. We do not set our standards either by what we can get away with, because we think God isn't really watching, or by thinking that we're a bit better than him or her. We do not set our standards by discipleship, by what is going on in the world around us, because we are citizens of a better kingdom. And we would be people who invite others to join us. Let us be still together. We are amazed, amazing God, at the power you put into insignificant things, buried seeds, yeast buried in dough, treasure buried in a field, the pearl discovered amongst many. Jesus said, "This is the way to find your kingdom, small, buried, insignificant things." And the most amazing thing is that you grow your kingdom in us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to sing the hymn, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." Join together to pray. Where wisdom is lacking, where good people fail to act, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where greed consumes all goodness, where hunger starves people of their humanity, where loneliness overshadows, where illness overwhelms, your kingdom come, your will be done. where racism is confronted. Where 50 years of freedom from prosecution are celebrated. Your kingdom come, your will be done. With the burdens that are ours, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. The money that we offer here, Lord Jesus, is not a cause for great celebration. It's not this week that really matters. It's every day. It's all that we have. It's the complete list of our abilities. It's the moments. It's day by day discipleship that matters. So empower us for that. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Bless this money that we bring. Bless the days that we offer for the work of your kingdom. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, we join to sing. made some treasure. Still making treasure. Jigsaw puzzle of treasures. Good. And I hope Abba's not mentioned. Beautiful. Can you come up here and show everybody this sparkling thing? Round of applause for this beautiful thing that you're all jealous about. I know that to be true.
Thank you.
Send us out, Lord, to love and to live, to act and to give, to pray and to serve, in Jesus' name. Amen.